Agenda item number 9, discussion and possible action on determination of interruptible water available for 2014 of Brad Brunette, Water Service Manager.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Interruptible water, we bring this item to you each year in October. Make a recommendation for you on the amount of interruptible water that BRA will make available in the following calendar year. So that's what we're doing here with this item today. First off, just to give you a little bit of review and background information on interruptible water, we established the interruptible water contract and sales procedure that we operate under today about 6 years ago and began selling interruptible water actually in 2008. And what interruptible water is, it consists primarily of unused water from the previous year and also water that's available in the reservoirs today and space that's reserved for sediment accumulation in the future. And just a little bit more on the unused part of the water. Whenever I say it's unused water, you know, when we sell our long-term contract water, it's based on our water right permits, which are based on the firm yield of the reservoirs. And so when we talk about firm yield, we're talking about the amount of water that we can take out of the reservoirs each year through a repeat of a multi-year drought and not completely run out of water. And so most of our reservoirs, the drought of record is anywhere from 3 to 10 years in length. And so when you're talking firm yield, how much can you take out each year through that multi-year period and not run out? And to give you an analogy, if you had a jug of water that held 7 quarts, and you had to use that 7 quarts and make it last over a week or a 7-day period, you could use a quart a day and not run out of water. Well, if on day one you only used half of a quart, then on day two you could use your quart for day two, but you still got the half that you didn't use the day before. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about unused water from the previous year. Now, we make our interruptible water contracts available on a temporary basis or a term basis that ranges from 1 to 5 years in length. So we have some customers that purchase for just 1 year and others that purchase for multiple years up to 5 years in length. The price is the same as our long-term contracts. It's the system rate, and we also offer the agricultural rate for those that use it for agricultural irrigation. We've got a defined procedure that outlines the process and a lot of the pertinent details and provisions with regard to interruptible water and the calculation procedure that we go through each year. We've got that methodology is defined, and we do have a 75% factor of safety that we add to the calculation just to account for the fact that, you know, we're trying to calculate a natural system and you can't do that exactly. You can't always anticipate how bad the drought's going to be. And we also want to protect our long-term customers' interests. We don't want to jeopardize the ability of our long-term customers to use their water at the expense of selling too much interruptible water. One of the important provisions within our interruptible contracts is that those customers that have multiple year contracts, in other words, they purchase it for more than 1 year, so their contract goes into the next year or the following year. When we make a determination on interruptible water that we're going to offer for the following year, based on their contract, they're obligated to pay for the full amount of that water. However, if we were to have a really bad drought and have reduced interruptible water available or make reduced water available, they could keep their multi-year contract, but for that particular year, they wouldn't be required to pay the full amount. They would only pay for what we offered, or if we offered nothing, they would keep their contract, and the following year when we come back the next October, if we made more available, then they would be required to go back to their full contract amount. So that's kind of an important part of the way their contracts work. Also, one other important point on our interruptible contracts is that they do contain a provision that if we reach the stage 3 drought emergency level under our drought plan at any of the reservoirs, we can basically curtail use of all interruptible water at that point. So that's a protection in there for us and for the system that we can cut that off. Next slide just shows you a little bit of background on the history of our interruptible water sales over the last 14 years or so. Actually, the last 6, I guess, is really the interruptible water. And prior to that, we sold what was called one-year water under a different contract form and price. The yellow bars show the amount that was actually made available each year by BRA, and the blue bars show how much was actually purchased by our customers in those years. And you can see that More interruptible water, as you would expect, is purchased in the dry years. And since 2011, almost all of what we've offered has been purchased as we've pretty much been in drought conditions for 4 or 5 of the last 6 years or so. The next slide. This slide summarizes the interruptible contracts that we have under contract at this time through this year that we're in right now. There's a total of 102,837 acre-feet of interruptible water under contract in 2013. 44,162 acre-feet of that is in multi-year contracts that do extend beyond the end of this year. And these contracts, again, have priority on what water is made available. Those customers that choose to extend or purchase a multi-year contract have priority over year-to-year what we make available for the next year. And then 58,675 acre-feet of what's under contract this year expires at the end of December this year. This slide just gives you a little bit of more detail on who our interruptible contract or who our interruptible water customers are this year, and also shows a little more detail about contract lengths and expirations. And you can see that our largest purchaser of interruptible water this year was Gulf Coast Water Authority. They had pretty much half of the interruptible water that we had available purchased. 44,000 acre feet of what they had expires at the end of this year, but they have 6,000 acre feet that carries over and goes through 2015. Dow is second on the list there. They have a little over 4,000 that expires at the end of this year, with a little over 24,000 acre feet that carries over and actually goes through the end of 2016. Alcoa was next. All of the water that they purchased, they only purchased it for this year, and so all of theirs expires at the end of the year. NRG has a contract for 3,332 acre feet that they use at Lake Limestone, and that's a multi-year contract as well. So those are the four largest single purchasers that we have. And then we have about 87 other contracts that total 16,244 acre feet, with 5,600 acre feet of that or so that expires at the end of this year, and then about 10,641 of those smaller contracts also extends beyond the end of the year. Yes, sir.
Where does Gulf Coast Water Authority, where does their water go? Is that mostly municipal or rural areas? Or
If I recall, their use is pretty evenly distributed between municipal and manufacturing in typical years, but they also supply quite a bit of rice irrigation too. So they have their own large water rights, and I think they typically use maybe close to 200,000 acre feet of water per year, with quite a bit going to municipal in the Texas City, Galveston area, a lot of the petrochemical industry down there, and then a little bit of rice farming continues in the Brazos. They're the supplier of a lot of that as well.
Can you explain to me again about those contracts that go out 5 years? How do they get the water, and is it the same price? And is this water that's set aside for them?
Yeah, the way it works is the customers that purchase a multi-year contract, they're obligating themselves to pay BRA for multiple years for water.
Okay.
And again, when we make a determination on how much water we're going to make available, we do that on a year-to-year basis. So their contract doesn't guarantee them an amount every year for that five-year period. Let's say they have a five-year contract. Mm-hmm. They have a five-year contract, but it's still subject to what we make available on an annual basis. And so in the event that For instance, Dow's contract that's multi-year is about 24,000 acre-feet of water. So if we made all 24,000 acre-feet available this year, they're obligated to pay, for that, and then we'll do the same thing next year. If we were to say we're not going to make any interruptible water available this year and the amount is zero, then Dow wouldn't be required to pay us anything this year, but their contract would still be in place. And if next year, the lake's filled up and we had water to sell, then they would still have their contract and their place in line for that full amount. So okay. If we offer it, they've got to pay for it, but if we don't have it or don't offer it, they kind of have a placeholder with their contract. They just don't pay that particular year.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
As a new guy, I'm not familiar with all the technology terminology, but can you put this into perspective for me? I don't understand how senior water rights and junior water rights and now interruptible water rights all relate.
Okay. the junior and senior water rights, that's kind of in perspective of we were talking about TCEQ earlier in the Water Master. BRA has water rights. Some of those are junior and some are senior, and other people.
What
like,
does that mean?
It means that, I guess, if you had a spectrum of water rights ranging from a water right issued yesterday to the oldest water right there is, it was issued in the 1800s, that oldest water right is senior to everything else. And the water right that was issued yesterday is junior to everything else.
Does that mean that something that was a logical decision in the 1800s is going to take precedence over how you use water today?
Yes, sir. The older, the way Texas surface water law works is, if you've got a water right that's older, then you've got priority over everybody in line since your water right. And that's not a BRA rule. That's just the way that the Texas Water Code is written. Seniority matters.
Okay.
Take the example of Dow making a call the other day or a couple of months ago. What that says is, if you have the newest water right and there's water coming down the river, you can't take it out. Dow has to make sure that they get their water. And so that's where a water master would go and say, oh, you're taking it out, and he'll slap your hand. Whereas now, they can take it out, and that's probably the problem that Dow and Gulf Coast is having, that they think people are cheating and taking their water. So that's the issue.
Can I give a little explanation, too?
Sure.
When you go for a water right, you go to the state, you apply for a permit to take water. The first people that did that are the first in line. Those are the most senior. The next person that comes along and they get a permit to take water out of the river, they get it from the state, then they're the next one, because that first one is the oldest, it's the most senior. And so on down the line, all the way up to now, if you go out for a new permit, like we're going for our system permit, then they will have junior water rights to all these people in this line because of the new water that they are taking out. So that's what they're talking about. When you apply, you get a date, and that date is the one that says whether you're senior or junior to the next person down in the line. So does that clear it up a little bit for you? I used to go get those permits.
It does. It's interesting. You know, we're talking about water masters, and we're talking about all the kinds of issues that might influence distribution of a very scarce resource today in 2013, and yet we're bound by these ancient contracts that were made at a time when supplies were vastly different, needs were vastly different, population was vastly different. It's an interesting circumstance that has evolved over time. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm finally getting a picture of what we're dealing with.
Yes, sir.
When you apply for a water permit, it has a time period on it, does it not? I mean,
a water rights permit?
Is it indefinite?
Yeah, for most water rights, like BRA's water rights, are perpetual. There is no expiration.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it'd be
just. That's why I mean, there are terms and conditions you have to pay for it. If you fail to pay for it or something like that, you can lose your right, right?
Yeah, and there are also, I think, provisions that if you don't use it, TCEQ could cancel it as well.
So. Can you sell your water right?
Yes.
You can?
Yes. And one other distinction I think that I'll make on water rights and contracts is what we're talking about in this last few minutes is water rights that you apply for from the state. BRA has its own water rights, but when we're talking about our interruptible contracts as well as long-term contracts, those are contracts between BRA and our customers that are backed up by our water rights. But one thing with regard to our water rights, they're for storage in those reservoirs, and so when you're in a situation like we were this summer and the last several summers where there's a senior call in place, those senior calls have no rights to the water that's in the reservoirs today. They only have rights to what is flowing in. And so when we're talking about supplying our customers, we're not going to be cut off from the water that's sitting in those reservoirs. That water was stored at a prior time when there was no senior call. And so once it's stored, it's BRA's, and we're able to use it to supply our customers. We may have to pass inflows to the reservoir from that point forward, so we may not be able to fill the reservoir back up as quickly, but what's there in the reservoirs is for us to supply our customers, and it's not subject to being curtailed based on junior and senior water right calls and that type of thing.
Sediment and evaporation affects that water, not that it's there, let it go.
Okay. Right. What determines the amount of water that we have? What is it, the flow of the river generally? Is that establish a base, and then everything above that is water rights that we have control
over? Our water rights are pretty much set based on the firm yield of the reservoirs. And so, you know, when our water rights were issued, you know, through time historically, for each one of our reservoirs, we have a water right. And for the most part, the amount of water that we're entitled to use is the firm yield of that reservoir, which, again, is, if you look back at the worst drought period that we've had, and up until now, you know, 1950s governs on most of those. But that's what our permits are based on, is that worst case period historically, and how much we could get out of the reservoirs if we had a repeat of that.
You mentioned sedimentation. Do we have any means of measuring the loss of capacity due to sedimentation?
We do. We measure each reservoir once every 10 years at a minimum. And the Texas Water Development Board actually has a real unique program where they go out, you know, with the sonar and GPS technology, and basically just crisscross all across the lake, and then use, you know, a GIS software to develop that. So we monitor it every 10 years. We have a survey done to just check and see how we're doing. Just a couple other points here on our interruptible water determination. You know, with the drought in place, these are some other factors that we've taken into account in the recommendation that we've got for you today. We're actually real similar to where we were this time in 2011. We've got about 50,000 acre feet more water in storage today than we did October 1 of 2011, and I've got a little chart here that shows that a little better. We've got three reservoirs that are under a stage 2 drought warning condition, and until the last month or so, when we started getting the rain, we were looking at the system as a whole dropping below stage 2 before the end of the year. I think now with the rainfall that we've had, that's pushed out probably till early next year, or perhaps by spring of next year. So we've got a little bit of breathing room there. But we still have three reservoirs that, you know, if it were to get dry again and we stop getting the rain that we've gotten, that could reach stage 3 by next summer. And those would be Limestone, Proctor, and Somerville. The next chart, the next slide here, this is just a chart that kind of shows you where we are now versus where we were in 2011. If you look at the yellow numbers up the top right, those are where we were on October 1 of 2011. And the white numbers just to the left is where we were on October the 2nd, I guess several weeks ago. And then when you look at the bars, the little black lines are where that lake was this time in 2011 versus the blue is where it is now. And so we're a little bit better off. This shows 65%. I think we're actually probably close to 67% with the rain from this weekend. We caught a little bit of water in Lake Belton. We're just a little bit better off than where we were in 2011. This next chart is really an interesting one. You know, when we look at the weather this summer, we've had more frequent rain. We haven't had the temperatures that we had in 2011. So just in terms of a summer and a year, it hasn't been near as extreme as 2011. But when you look at inflow to our reservoirs, it has been. And that's one of the things that we monitor very closely is, you know, how much water do we have flowing into the reservoirs? And this is a real telling chart. If you look at the black line and go all the way back to the left-hand side of the chart where you see March there, that's March of 2012. And that's really the last time we had any significant inflow to our reservoir system was, you know, 18 months ago. And so if you follow the black line on across, that shows the total amount of inflow that we've had over the last 18 months. And you can see as of the end of September there, it's just a little bit under 600,000 acre feet. The red line is where we were in 2011, and you can see that for most of the year, starting out in 2011, we were a little bit worse than this year, but then when we got to December of 2011 and then through January and February, we had a lot of rain, and we had 1 million acre feet of water that flowed into the reservoirs between December and February. You can see the sharp increase in the slope of the red line there. And so we're, again, the temperatures and things haven't been as extreme, but the effect on our reservoirs really has. We just have not had any significant inflow for the last 18 months. And the other two lines just put that a little bit more into perspective. We've got a data set that goes back to 1900 that is based on historical stream gauges that estimates if the reservoirs would have been there. Obviously, we didn't have reservoirs in 1900, but we've got estimates of what the inflow levels would have been. And you can see until this year, the two worst similar periods of time, you can see in the 1950s and the 1980s, we had almost twice as much as what we've had so far. So hopefully we're on the upswing with the rainfall that we've been getting, and we're positioning ourselves to get some inflow, but it's really been dry. This is kind of a short-term forecast looking forward. This is produced by NOAA, and this one was released on October the 17th. You can just ignore all the writing on there and just look at the colors and the legend, and you can see that the lower part of the basin is in that green color, and it shows that the drought effects are likely to go away here over the short term. And that's really what we've been seeing. If y'all see some of the updates that Phil sends, we've been getting a lot of rain routinely, but so far it's been occurring downstream of the reservoirs, and so the flows in the river have gotten a lot better than they were. I looked this morning, and at Bryan, the river is flowing at 15,000 cubic feet per second. So today there will be 30,000 acre feet of water that flows past that gauge in one day. But we just haven't had it upstream yet where it's filling up the reservoirs. But again, we're in a lot better shape today than we were 2 or 3 months ago, basin-wide.
Will we see Allen's Creek?
Yeah. Exactly. I was thinking about that over the last month or so, and I'll bet we could have pumped probably 50,000 acre feet of water over the last month or two if that reservoir would have been there. So it's a classic example of off-channel reservoirs and how that will help us.
And Prop 6 money will help make that hurry that along.
100,000. The question from Jeff was, how much would Allen's Creek hold? Isn't it like 100,000 acre feet?
It holds 150,000, but the permit allows us to use about 100 total per year from it.
100,000 acre feet.
And at the design capacity, we can pump about 5,000 acre feet a day into it from the river when the river's flowing. So, on days like today, we could be putting 5,000 acre feet of water into that reservoir each day. Now, this was the numbers from the calculations that we go through. I mentioned our calculation procedure and the safety factor earlier. You can see in the second column there, that's how the numbers shake out for what we've calculated this year. The amounts vary by location, so we break it down into different parts of the basin. Obviously, we've got more interruptible water available if you're downstream of all the reservoirs versus if you're upstream just near one of them. You can see that the first column there, the total is 89,702 acre feet. And were we not in the drought conditions with the inflows as bad as they are, that's what we would be recommending to you today. The middle column shows the existing contracts that extend beyond the end of this year and where those are located. And they total about 44,162 acre feet. So those are the customers that have purchased for more than one year, and their contracts extend at least through next year and in some cases on beyond that. And then the last column is simply the remainder. If you take the total, subtract the current contracts, that's what would be left over for first come, first serve new purchasers. And our recommendation to you today, just one thing before we get there. This just gives you perspective on what we're talking about in terms of our total system. The black line is the status of our storage dating back again to March 2012, where you can see we were almost full, and our storage has declined to we're about a little over 1.2 million acre feet today. And then each one of those dashed lines shows, in a worst case condition, if we had really bad dry weather again for the next 18 months, what the effects of our interruptible water sales would be. The top line, the darker blue, is if we didn't sell any interruptible water. The dashed blue is if we just sold the 44,000 for the customers that have the multi-year contracts. And then the bottom line would be if we sold all 89,702 acre feet. And so you can see perspective-wise, it's not a whole lot in terms of our system, but it is still, zero to 90,000 acre feet of water, which, is significant when you're looking at that in and of itself. Okay, the next one, what our recommendation is that we, at this time, go ahead and make the 44,162 acre feet available for those customers that have multi-year contracts that go on beyond next year. And the difference, the 45,000 acre feet left over that we don't make that available at this time, but we would hold that off to the side and come back to you at a later meeting date if our conditions improve, or you know, as we get closer to next summer when we kind of see what the demands are like and what our customers' needs are at that time. So I think this is the last slide other than the resolution. If anybody's got any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Back on that previous slide, all three of those lines are pretty close together. So when those lines go below stage three, you turn into a pumpkin,
right?
And it's all over, right?
Well, when we drop below stage three, we ask our customers to cut their use back by 20%.
Okay.
And for our interruptible contracts, we would ask them to curtail completely.
That's what I meant. On the interruptible, that goes away at that point. So it's they all get there about the same time.
Well, yeah, and, you know,
there's not a lot of difference.
There's not. And, you know, even when we look at our drought plan, we've got, I don't know if you recall, in October of last year, we were talking about our drought plan, and that's one of the things with drought plans is, you know, you're trying to buy yourself time. But when you look at how much water leaves the reservoirs every year, more than half the water that leaves the reservoirs is going to evaporation. And so what you're able to toggle back is really not a whole lot. It could be important. It could buy yourself, you know, buy you, you know, 6 months of time. But it's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Go ahead.
Read the resolution.
Read the resolution, please, sir.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to make up to 44,162 acre-feet of interruptible water available in calendar year 2014 for existing interruptible water availability agreements with terms that extend beyond December 31, 2013. Be it further resolved that due to drought conditions, exceptionally low reservoir inflow, and potential Stage 3 drought emergency declarations in 2014, at this time, no new interruptible water availability agreements will be authorized for calendar year 2014.
All right. You've heard a reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt? Robert?
So moved.
Second by Henry. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Benes?
Yes.
Director Borland?
Yes.
Director Christensen?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Creel?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Mackey?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Tesh?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Okay.